Ruth chapter 3. Ruth is at the threshing floor of Boaz, and she's laid down at his feet in verse number 9. Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. So he woke up in the middle of the night, and he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." I'm going to skip a verse or two. Verse number 12. "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." What's Ruth asking for? She's asking to come under his, that word there where he says, where she says, "Therefore thy skirt, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid." It's a picture of a wing. It's like a bird. It's like a hen gathering her chicks under her wing. What's she literally asking for? Him to marry her. That's what she's asking for. "I'm a widow. I don't have a husband. I'm asking you to marry me. I'm asking you to take me under your wing." So I'm going to begin in verse chapter number 4. With that in mind, chapter number 4. "Then went Boaz up to the gate." This is the next morning. "Sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto whom he said, 'Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit you down here.' And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, 'Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of grain of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise to thee, saying, buy it for the inhabitants, before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then said Boaz, 'What day that thou buyest the field at the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.' And the kinsman said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it.' Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, 'Buy it for thee.' So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, 'You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi, moreover of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day.' And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come unto thee, unto thine house, like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem.'" I'm going to stop. Let the house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. I know that's a lot of reading. But to try to get it in context, I'm sorry to read so much. But I'd like to think about the Redeemer. So if we take the scripture, Boaz has come to the gate. The gate of the city was a place where judgment happened, where legalities were, things were done there. And it was a place of judgment, but it was also a place of blessing. So Boaz has come to the gate, and there's a kinsman. There's somebody who is nearer kin to Ruth than Boaz. There's a nearer kinsman than Boaz to Ruth. So that kinsman comes by, and he says, "Hey, come over here and sit down. Naomi has come back from Moab. And what's the situation? The situation is she's in debt. The situation is she very well is in debt on her property. And her daughter-in-law, Ruth, has come out as well. Her husband is dead." So he says, "Naomi's going to sell a parcel of land. If you want to buy it, let me know. There's two kinsmen, you and me. You're the nearer kinsman. So if you want to buy it, you let me know. If you want to buy it, you buy it." He says, "I'll buy it." So Boaz says, "The day that you buy the land, you got to buy it not only from Naomi, but you've got to buy Ruth as well." The kinsman said, "I'll redeem it," when you're just talking about the property. "But now if you're going to talk about this woman, I can't redeem it." So I want us to look tonight, and I want you to see there's two redeemers for all of mankind. One is the law. The other is grace. That's the only way that you'll ever get to heaven, is by one of those two redeemers. Either by the law or by grace. I believe you can say this, that the law is the nearer kinsman. I believe the law is a kinsman that man knows about. I believe the law is a kinsman that man is familiar with. I believe the law is a kinsman that man thinks, "I can measure up. I know about how to do that. I know how to follow the law, and I know what's good, and I know what's bad, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong." I believe that's a near kinsman. But there's another kinsman. That other kinsman is grace. I tell you, grace is foreign unto man. Grace is far off from the thinking of man. Man, I was talking to a man today, and we were talking about a mutual acquaintance. And that mutual acquaintance said, "I don't need Christ. I don't need Jesus." You know why that man didn't need Jesus? That man thought he could make it by the works of the law. That man had never seen himself to be a sinner on his way to hell. That man had never seen his failure. But I tell you, there's only two ways to get to heaven. And one is by the nearer kinsman, the law. The other, by the grace of God, which is farther away from the thinking of man.
I believe man as a whole in our world today, outside of the gospel, outside of the Word of God. You know what I could say about that man that said, I don't need Jesus? He never said into the gospel. He never said into the Word of God. He didn't want to go down to the church house. He didn't want to hear that Bible preaching. He didn't want to hear about that. He didn't need it. He was good enough himself. And I tell you what he was doing. He was comparing himself with others. He was looking at a world that he was living in and saying, I'm as good as the rest. Well, let me tell you this, friend, that all the rest outside of Jesus Christ are going to die and go to hell. You may be dying and going to hell, and you may be just as good as all the rest. But if the rest are not saved by the grace of God, they're going to die and go to hell too. So know this, you may be just as good as they are, but you have never realized their destiny. You've never realized where they're headed. You've never realized that though you may be just as good as they are, that they are headed to hell. Now the nearer kinsman said, I'll redeem it. Naomi's going to sell a parcel of land. I'll redeem it. That sounds good. Sounds good. Boaz says, the day that you redeem it, the property from Naomi, you have to buy Ruth as well. Oh no, now that's a different story. That's a different story now. I tell you, man, I believe man can try to measure up to the earthly part. I believe man can try to measure up when you're talking about buying and selling and acquiring the things that are earthly. But you know what Boaz is talking about? Boaz is talking about buying a person. Boaz is talking about buying a human being. Boaz is not talking about buying a piece of property. Boaz says you're going to buy the property and you got to buy the person as well. Now, who has the means to buy the person as well as the property? Who can buy the whole man? Who can purchase the whole man? Is there anybody, do you know of anybody? I tell you, the Redeemer says this, if I buy that, it's going to mar my inheritance. You know, if I buy the person, it's going to destroy the word for mar. It means it's going to pollute, it's going to corrupt, it's going to destroy my inheritance. Listen to what he says. And the kinsman said, I cannot. And that's the God's truth. He didn't have the means. And you don't have the means. And the law doesn't have the means to redeem a person. No. No, you might be able to redeem some property. And I tell you, I believe we could even look at it like this. We could look at it in the goodness that the law, by the goodness of God, you know, Anthony's been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sanhedrin and all that group of people, they thought that they were good enough. They thought that they had kept the law. But you know what? When you buy the person, you got to buy the heart. You got to buy the thinking. You got to buy the soul. You got to buy the whole man. You got to buy the nature. You don't just buy the outside. You don't just buy the works of the hands or the works of the feet. You got to get on the inside. I tell you, if we're going to heaven, we'll have to be new creatures. We'll have to have a new nature. We'll have to have a new heart. We'll have to be born again. Friend, the law can't do that. You might measure up. Paul said, concerning the law, I was blameless. But you know what? Our friend, when God got down to what was in his heart, he no longer was blameless. When God got down to what was in the thinking and what was in the emotion and what was in the very seed of the heart and the thoughts and the emotion and the very man and the desires and the longings of the man, our friend, that came from inside, Paul found himself to be a sinner. The nearer kinsman said, I can't redeem it. He told the truth. He did not have the means to redeem the person. You know what it's going to do? It's going to mess up his inheritance. If he buys this woman, now I'm not going to speculate, and I'm not really interested in the fleshly part, whether he's got a wife, he's got children, he's a widow. That really doesn't concern me. I want to think about the spiritual part of it. The spiritual part of it is he's going to bring in a woman who is a Moabite. He's going to bring in a woman who is a sinner. He's going to bring in a woman with all... You know what it's going to do? It's going to bring shame on him if he brings in this Moabite. It's going to bankrupt him in an Israelite situation. It's going to bankrupt him under the law. Friend, he can't have this woman for his wife. He's not able to pay this. He doesn't have the means to pay this. This is going to destroy and corrupt his inheritance. You know, salvation by grace is a gift of God. Salvation by the law comes with a price. And I can't elaborate on this a whole lot. But you know, there's a legal gift. You can give a gift to somebody. I'm talking about through the court system. And if it's genuinely a gift, it comes with no strings attached. If it's genuinely a gift, there's no strings attached. The law has strings attached to it. A gift with conditions is not a gift, but a trade. If this man buys this woman, Ruth, it's going to destroy his inheritance. It is going to bankrupt him. You see, Anthony covered it week before last, I guess, and I just listened to it last week, how we looked at James about being an observer of the whole law and breaking one commandment, we're guilty of all. Anthony covered that in the book of Matthew, that we were guilty of the whole if we failed in any one part. So a gift with conditions is not a gift. Jesus Christ, by the word of God, you know what he said in Ephesians? He said in Ephesians, you are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How wonderful. For grace, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So when God gives a gift, does he give a gift conditionally? It's not a gift. If it's got conditions, he gives a gift without any conditions. And this is what the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So grace is the gift of Jesus Christ by God. So God is giving a gift. I want you to see this, that the man would like to redeem the property, but he cannot redeem the person. You see, there's more there. There's something there that will mar his inheritance. There is sin there. There is shame there. There is a person there that has failed. And friend, this man, the law, you know what one sin is going to do to me? It's going to corrupt everything that I've ever done right. One sin is going to corrupt all of it. But God is giving a gift of salvation by the grace of God. And that gift is a gift, and it's only a gift if it's unconditional. It doesn't have ties on it, doesn't have any strings attached to it, doesn't have anything. A gift with conditions is not a gift, but a trade. There's an expectation that something is owed for the gift. What can I pay? I tell you, what can you pay? You can live according to the law and live a life of perfection, or you can receive the gift of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only two redeemers there are. But the nearer, the more familiar, the one that is more suitable to the thinking of man is the law. Man feels as though I can earn my way. I feel like I'm better than that one or that one. I feel like I'm as good as the rest. I tell you what, man is familiar with getting something by giving something. Did you get paid? Any of you get a check in the last month? Some of you get some wages in the last month. Why? Why did you receive that check? Work for it. Maybe you worked last week. Maybe you worked today. Maybe you worked the previous 45 years. Maybe you worked the last 50 years. But there was a reason that you got that check, and the reason you got the check was because it was a trade. It was an exchange. You worked, and therefore you got a check. You paid in, therefore you got a check. You got a check because you made a trade, whether it was paying in for 25 years into a retirement plan, it was paying into Social Security, whatever it may be, you received a check because you paid in. That's the way man thinks. Man thinks like that. We're living in a world that's thinking less and less like that, but they are expecting someone to put in, someone to work, someone to pay, but a multitude of people in the world we're living in today are expecting something for nothing. Well, I want to say unto you that salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is a gift from God. Salvation is the redemption of the whole man, not just the property, but the whole man. And by this word of God, you think about that near kinsman, man thinks, and in man's mind, I deserve, I've done this and that and the other, and therefore I deserve to go to heaven. One sin will bankrupt you. One sin and all of your inheritance. I'm talking about heaven. I'm interchanging inheritance with heaven, okay? One sin will destroy your heaven. One sin will destroy your inheritance. But the gift of God is salvation by grace through faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll try to move on. So the man said, I'm going to redeem it. Boaz said, the day you buy it, you got it from Naomi, you got to buy it also from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. What was the law in Israel? The law in Israel was, a man dies and he doesn't have any children. The law of Israel is the next kinsman. The closest kin is to marry that woman and raise a child by that woman, though a different man fathered it, raise that child, and that child would be called under the name of the dead person. The brother that died, the male on that died, this redeemer is supposed to raise up a child And that child to be through the law would be called a son of Malan.
That's what the law says. And the kinsman said, verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You see what this Redeemer is going to do? This Redeemer has to pay a price that's going to benefit someone else. You see that? This Redeemer is going to pay a price to benefit someone else. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to pay a price to help somebody else. I cannot. That's what it doesn't say. I won't. I'm not willing. He says, I cannot, lest it mar my inheritance, unless it destroys what I'm planning on getting. Let's listen a little farther. So I can't do that. I'm not going to benefit a Malon who is dead. I'm not going to benefit by spending my time, my money, on somebody else. So, the manner at that time, you plucked your shoe off and gave it to your neighbor, and that was a testimony. We'll get to that in just a minute. So, the kinsman said, Boaz, you buy it. I can't buy it. I cannot redeem it. I can't afford it. Well, I say thank God. Chapter number 2 and verse number 1 says this. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You know something? Here's a man that's got the means. Here's a man that is not going to bankrupt him if he buys Ruth. Here's a man that was born, and he is a man that is a mighty man of wealth. And the Redeemer closest says, you buy it, Boaz. You buy the land. And let me tell you this. You got to buy the whole. You can't buy the land and not buy the person. You can't buy the flesh and not buy the soul and the spirit. You can't do good enough or do as good as everybody else. I tell you, the whole man has to be redeemed. Not only the property has to be redeemed, but the person has to be redeemed. Boaz is the man who is able to redeem both the property, and he's also able to redeem Naomi, able to redeem Ruth. He's able to redeem what Kilian left. He's able to redeem what Malan left. He's able to redeem the whole lineage. He's able to redeem the whole man. How can he do that? He's a rich man. Let me tell you this. This first Redeemer is looking for an inheritance. This man is not looking for an inheritance. This man has already got an inheritance. This man is already rich. This man is already a receiver. This man is already in the lineage. This man, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, this is a rich and a wealthy man. This man is not worried about an inheritance down the road. Praise God, this man's rich already. I cannot redeem it for yourself. So he says this. He drew off his shoe. This is what that really means. I believe this is what that means. I'm pulling off my shoe and I'm handing it to you, Boaz. I will no longer have any right to tread on that property. I will no longer claim any right
to that property to be mine. I give up all rights to that property. I'm taking off my shoe. Can you see that? I'm never ever going to step on that property again, Boaz. You're going to buy it. You're going to pay for it. And I'm going to give up all rights. Thank God. Thank God. I tell you, friend, through our heavenly Boaz, you know what the law has been? The law has been made void and null to me. I'm talking about salvation by the law. I thank God the law is not going to trample on me ever again. The law is not going to bring me under its power again. Not going to bring and lay its foot on my neck again. Thank God my heavenly Boaz has paid the price. And friend, the law had to take its shoe off and say, I surrender unto grace.
Listen, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. I want to read a little scripture in Romans 6:14, a familiar scripture. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under. You see that? You're not under. Thank God I'm not under the foot of the law. I'm not under the foot of a Redeemer who can only help me in the flesh and can't do anything for the whole man. I tell you, Paul said in one place over in Thessalonians, our friend, he talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Our friend, you know what the Redeemer could do? He could only deal with the body. He could only deal with the earthly part. There's a part of me that's going beyond this earth, folks. There's a part of you that's going to leave here one day. A friend, though it may look like how that they buried it in the grave. No, ma'am, I tell you what that is. That ain't nothing but a tent. Praise God, the real man and the whole man is going to heaven or going to hell. I'm talking about a Redeemer who can redeem the whole man. I'm talking about a Redeemer who can get the law to take his shoe off and say, no more, I surrender all rights. Thank God. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion, lordship exercise. I was under the law. I'm not saying I'm supposed to live lawless. I'm saying I'm not under the law to try to get to heaven. I'm saying I'm not under the law and trying to work my way and pay my dues and get what's coming to me. If I get what's coming to me, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll raise my eyes and lift my eyes in hell one day if I get what's coming. But by the grace and the wonderful gift of God, I have received a gift without conditions on it.
8:2, Romans 8:2. I'm going to read 8:1 as well. There is therefore now, praise God now. Now. You know what he said? He said, buy it. When? Today. You buy it today or I'll buy it today. Today is the day of salvation. Now, are you going to get there by the works of the law? You're going to get there under that master? You're going to get there, a friend, by doing better than somebody else? Well, let me tell you this, that God's looking at the inside. God's looking at the whole man. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to save the whole man. I tell you, he came to save both body, soul, and spirit. Not both, but three. Our friend, he came to save the whole man. He gave me a new nature. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a new want to. He done a work in my heart. And in my mind and in my thinking in the very seat of my emotion. And he made my flesh want to do different than it did before. He redeemed the whole man.
The law can't do that. The law can't do that. 8:2, 8:1. Therefore there is now, thank God now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's the first Redeemer, folks. Thank God I'm free from him. He took his shoe off and handed it to Boaz. You know what he's saying?
I'll never set foot on that land again. You bought it, you paid for it, it belongs to you, and I can't say anything or do anything about it. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, set me free from sin, and thank God I'm not under the law. Two redeemers, you read it in your text. Thee and I am after thee. You know what John the Baptist was?
Forerunner.
Exactly. What was the law?
Perfection.
Forerunner. Forerunner. The law was a forerunner. The law was just like John the Baptist preparing the way for Christ, right? So the law prepared me to realize my condition before God. So the law prepared me to receive Jesus Christ. And now listen. There's only two redeemers, Boaz says. Thee. Read it with me. It's beautiful in the verse if you'll read it. Read it with me. Verse number 4. I'm going to read the latter part. For there is none to redeem it besides thee. Semicolon. And I am is put in there by the translator. And I after thee. You know something? My friend, you know what? You know what the governor said? The governor said, you saved the best wine to last. You know something? Praise God, the best is the last. Friend, the best wine, a friend, is that the Lord has saved to last. It's not John the Baptist is not the best, though John the Baptist, our friend, was the greatest man that ever was. Our friend, under the law, he was the greatest man that ever was. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. I'll tell you this, friend, here is something greater than the law. And he saved it to the last. Another verse. The best wine, the forerunner. So Boaz says to the people. Now there's at least 10 witnesses plus other people that's probably gathered around at the gate. And Boaz says, know this, you elders and you witnesses this day, that I have bought. You look at this now. Verse 9, I have bought all. Thank God I have bought all. That was Elimelech's. And all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. You know what he did? I tell you, friend, he paid the price. He paid the price. A friend, that all of the law is satisfied. All of the price of debt is satisfied. Whether it be sin, whether it be property, whether it be the person, he paid for everything. Everything that fell under the lineage of Elimelech, everything that was Kilian's, everything that was Mahlon's, everything that was Naomi, everything with Ruth, he bought every bit of it. And I'll tell you what, my friend, there's no negotiating. He paid the full price and he got the whole. He didn't get part of it. He bought it all. You know what he said? He said, you're witnesses. Thank God there's some witnesses, ladies and gentlemen. A friend, when God buys a man and when God buys a woman, he leaves a witness with him. He leaves a witness, ladies and gentlemen, of the Holy Spirit in the heart and in the life. He said, ye are witnesses and I bought it all. The law can't do that. The law is unable to do that. Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, Kilian's, Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, I bought all of that. But also, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased. He bought her. Ain't that something? He bought all the debt. He bought all the debt that they had incurred. He bought all that they had run up. And then he bought a woman, a friend that came out of a foreign land, who the Bible said, there shall be no Amorite or Moabite come into the house of Israel to the 10th generation. what kind of a price did he pay?
Romans 3:21. Let's read a verse or two. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What we got here?
I tell you what we got. We got a picture of the law and the prophets sitting in the gate. We got a picture of the law and the prophets saying unto Boaz, you bought it all, Boaz. We know that you paid the full price and you bought Elimelech's problem. You brought Naomi's problem. You bought Mahlon's problem and you bought Ruth out of Moab. You bought it all.
And the law and the prophets, a friend is talking about a righteousness here in the Word of God, even a righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all you that believe, for there is no difference. You know what he did?
I'll tell you, friend, the law and the prophets was witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God coming. The closer Redeemer, the nearer Redeemer, the nearer kinsman couldn't pay. Couldn't pay.
Bankrupting him if he bought this. If he bought this sin, bought this shame, bought this Moabite, if he bought this, he's ruined. By the law, he's ruined. His inheritance is, it's gone. So the Bible said, I bought all of this and you are witnesses. You are witnesses that I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. You know something?
I don't know whether you've thought about this, but you know, he's going to raise up a child by what he's saying right here in the gate. This child is going to be called by Mahlon's name. Okay? That's in the gate. In the New Testament, there is no Mahlon. Let me read it to you. I'll get to my point in just a minute. Matthew chapter 1. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Verse number 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, that's the harlot. You notice it don't say the harlot in the New Testament. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. I can read it to you in the book of Luke as well, chapter number 3. The book of Luke, chapter number 3. Now, did Boaz satisfy the law? He certainly did. I believe he satisfied the law completely. I believe he paid the full payment. In the book of Luke, chapter number 3, the Bible says this, verse number 31, which was the son of Mela, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Matthai, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon. I tell you, thank God, in the Old Testament, Boaz may have raised a boy up, a friend, and he may have been called by the name of Mahlon. In the New Testament, under the grace of God, you know what? Mahlon's not in the picture. I tell you who's in the picture. The beautiful picture of grace, Boaz, doctrine is the son, is the father of Obed. Boaz, by the grace of God, you know something? Friend, when you look there in the Old Testament, you may, friend, look there and see the law satisfied, but under grace, friend, under grace, you're not going to find a male on. You're not going to find a dead man. You're going to find a live man. You're not going to find Ruth the Moabitess. You're going to find Ruth, the wife of Boaz. Thank God, you know something, I may very well have been raised up and my past, I may have been a Moabite, but I'll tell you right now, under what God has brought me into, under the marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ, under my heavenly Boaz, I'm no longer called Ruth the Moabitess, I'm called Ruth, the daughter, the wife, a friend of Boaz. By grace, we've got a new name. We're not called Ruth the Moabitess. I want you to see that spiritually. Under grace, who's our husband? Boaz bought her. Who bought those that are saved? Jesus. You know how God sees me? I thought about you singing that song. When He sees me, He sees the blood. Right?
Right.
I'm hid away with Christ in God. He don't see me as a Boaz. I mean as a Ruth, the Moabitess. I tell you this, friend. All of those people that were there that day, you know what they realized? They realized, well, I tell you what. This Ruth, she may have come out of Moab, but from now on, she's going to be named by Boaz. This is Boaz's wife. Friend, this is not Ruth that came out of Moab. This is not Ruth who is cursed. This is not Ruth who can't come in. Praise God, I tell you how I'm getting in. I'm getting in by the payment that was paid by my heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. The law couldn't redeem me, but He could. A rich man, a wealthy man, a mighty man of wealth, thank God He bought me, paid for me, and brought me in under the grace of God. I've got a new name. You got a new name? I got a new name. I tell you something. You can't enjoy it. We ought to look and see if we're saved. We ought to look. My God, how wonderful. Listen a little more. You know something? I can't change. I can't change what I was before 1983. You can't either, Stevie. Down there at the gate, under the law, they may bring it up. And they may say, well, I know where she come from. I know what you did. But let me tell you this, friend. When you go over to the New Testament, when you get over and you get out from under the law and you get into grace, our friend, there's no more Rahab the harlot. Our friend, there's no more Ruth the Moabitess. I'll tell you, it's Ruth, the wife of Boaz. That's the way she's treated. That's the way she's thought of. That's the way she's addressed. That's the way that it is. Our friend, no more is she a Moabitess. No more is she an outcast. She is the wife. She is known by her husband. You can bring up all of my past you want to. But I'll tell you this, when I leave this world, even now, there is no condemnation, even now, to them who are in Christ Jesus. Thank God. And let me tell you, He paid the price. He paid the full price. He didn't pay a partial price. He didn't halfway save me. He didn't partially save me. He saved me to the uttermost. I am saved in every debt that I've ever owed. My friend, everything that I'll ever run up, every debt that I'll ever incur, let me tell you this, He's already paid for it. You'll not bankrupt Him. You won't bankrupt the grace of God. Just a little bit more. Boaz said to the elders, you are witnesses. You are witnesses this day. You know something? This day, I am.
I am this day bought and paid for. I may not be in heaven. I'm not living perfect. I'm not a perfect human being, but I have been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought and paid for me. And I'll tell you that my heavenly Boaz, a friend, you know something? She may have been born a Moabite, but I tell you what she is now. She's a Jew. Right now, she's an Israelite. She's been brought into the family by this marriage under Boaz, and she's going to be treated like an Israelite. She's going to be addressed as an Israelite. My friend, there is no second class. I tell you what she is. She's an heir and a joint heir. I'm an heir and a joint heir with the Lamb of God. I'm in the family of God by grace. So, her identity in the gate, under the law, that may still be there. People may remember that, but I tell you, she is, by their own witnesses, she is the wife of Boaz. And her, I believe you can say this, in the New Testament, when we look at Tamar, when we look at Ruth, when we look at Rahab, and we look at Bathsheba, in the New Testament, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at the grace of God who brought the rejects, the absolute rejects out from under the law and placed them in the New Testament of grace. That's what I was. That's what you were. We were the rejects. We had already bankrupted ourselves. But thank God. So, what is all of this? He paid a price. Boaz paid a price. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, just a little bit more, and we'll hush. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 5 and following. Ephesians chapter 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Who's doing this? God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to God. According to the good pleasure of his will. You know, there wasn't nobody holding a gun to Boaz. There wasn't nobody that forced the Lord Jesus to die on the cross. He laid his life down willingly, vicariously. He laid it down for somebody else. Boaz paid the price that somebody else would be benefited. But I'd like to go just a little farther. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. You know who's going to get all the praise for Ruth being in the family of God? Boaz is. You know who gets all the praise for me being in the family of God? Now think with me. God does. Preacher, I did this. That ain't a gift. Don't tell me what you did. Don't tell me what you earned. Don't tell me what you worked out. That's not grace. Grace is a gift with no attachments, with nothing deserved. A gift from God, not of works. Total opposition to works. Grace, he said in Romans chapter 3, verse number 24, freely. You have been brought in freely by the grace of God, not by work, nothing that you could add. I tell you what it is. It's in total opposition to any work. But
Boaz didn't ever bit because he loved her.
You know why you're saved if you are? Because God loved you. Romans 3:24, I'm going to touch that verse. Let me read it because I butchered it, I'm sure. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, there's the price, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Boaz paid the price. You know what redemption means? It means ransom. Who paid the ransom? Well, who paid the ransom in Ruth chapter 4? Boaz. Who is Boaz? He's a type of our heavenly Jesus. He is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our heavenly Boaz. He redeemed us. He paid the ransom freely. Notice your Bible. Romans 3, verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified, so I am declared righteous. I am out from under my debt. I'm out from under the wrath of God. I'm out from under the hold of the devil. I have my Moabite heritage off of me. I'm a child of God. I'm under the watch care. I'm under the love. I'm under the wing. I'm under the wing of my heavenly Boaz. Freely by grace. By His grace, through the redemption, through the ransom that is in Christ Jesus. Well, I've lied. I'm gonna have to read one more text. Psalm number 91. What did she ask Him for? Spread your skirt over me. Put your wing over me. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Not with an iron bar, with His feathers. You talk about warm. You talk about soft. You talk about love. You talk about, and look, He's going to put you under His wing. He's going to put you under there where you're hid. Thank God we're hid. You know where Ruth is? Ruth is hid in Boaz. The law. The closer Redeemer wouldn't have her. He didn't want to be seen with her. Thank God Boaz has got enough grace and love and feathers and a wing big enough to cover up my sin. 91:4. He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wings. Look at His love. Look at His affection. Look at the perfection. Look at the protection. And also His wings shall thou trust. I'm going to put my faith there. I'm going to believe in Him. And His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You know what He is? He is the truth. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Know what He is? He's my protector. He is the truth. And His word is truth. And He can't go back on His word. And He can't deny His word. And His word is forever settled in heaven. Oh, friend, and if His word is in heaven, and I'm under His word, and I'm under His truth, and I'm under His wing, I'm there. By grace. Two redeemers. The law and grace.